I'm very happy now to welcome Pat Murphy. She is a feminist disability studies scholar, and Mary McGinnis, poet, counselor, and disability activist. Pat will be teaching a course at the Santa Fe Community College starting at the end of this month called Introducing Disability Studies. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
It's great to be here.
I'm very glad to be here.
Now, disability studies is a term maybe many of us haven't really heard before. We've heard of American studies, women's studies. What is disability studies?
Well, it's very interesting that you started out by talking about women's studies and American studies, because like women's studies and ethnic studies, which were created after the passage of the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, disability studies emerged after the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990. So this is a very new field of study. It is not a therapy. We're not trying to fix anybody. So it's not special education or vocational rehabilitation, but it is a liberal arts approach to looking at disability, where we're trying to help people think critically about disability as a human experience. In fact, disability is the only club that we could all join at any moment. And if we're fortunate enough to live long enough, we will acquire a disability.
Right. My understanding of disability studies is that there's a lot of emphasis on recontextualizing disability from an individual perspective to a community or social perspective.
Yes, because prior to this time, the medical model of disability always emphasized disability as just located in the individual who needed to be fixed, all right? There was something wrong with them. In disability studies, we move toward the social model of disability, which we see disability as a social construct. In other words, one example would be if there was no ramp into the Santa Fe Baking Company, folks who use wheelchairs would not be able to get in here. Well, that's not their problem. That is a socially constructed situation that disables them. And so as soon as you make things accessible, you're making things available to everyone, and you're not disabling anyone.
And so the more you make things, for example, the more you make your society wheelchair accessible, blind accessible, whatever, the more everybody can participate.
Right, right. Now, having Mary here, who uses a computer, I'm sure she uses a computer in a different way than you and I do.
Yeah, Mary, you have been blind since you were born, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so I've seen you writing Braille, and you write faster than probably most people write longhand. It's quite amazing.
And I use really thin paper so that it's easy to do. If I were using very thick paper, I couldn't write as fast. But
right.
Since we're doing, you know, we're doing wild writing, timed writing, I want to write fast, get it out.
And you were able to use computers because now they have been made and remade for greater access to people like you.
Yes, I have a program called Window Eyes, and that speaks whatever I get on the computer in this funny computer voice. But I have it at the right pitch so that I don't mind it.
So what this means then is that people with disabilities get to hang out with the rest of us. And what disability studies does is we examine the history of disability, which is really important. And in fact, I wanted to create in the state of New Mexico a disability history archive. But guess what? There's no place to put it.
This is a big state.
It's a big state. I've been to UNM, to their archives. They're saying they're not interested. I've been to the History Museum. I've been to the State Archives, which basically has only government stuff. And And right now, I don't think there's a full appreciation of the importance of disability history. For example, in Toledo,
which is where you have worked and you started a disability program there.
Right.
Disability studies program.
At the University of Toledo in Ohio, what happened was the local independent living center came into a large inheritance unexpectedly. And I happened to be friends with one of the folks over there, Shelley. And they had to reorganize their organization because they got all this money. And I said, how about creating disability studies? So they gave the University of Toledo $2 million. And so we started the program, which I wrote all the curriculum and taught all the classes, and now it's gone from a program to a full bachelor's degree with four faculty. So it's quite unique.
Tell us a little bit about disability history. What would fall under that?
Well, for example, going back to the Independent Living Center, they had 80 years of records, which were every which where. And when we got them into the archive and started sorting them out, we found a photograph of Helen Keller as a young woman standing with, we think, a child with polio. And nobody even knew that she'd ever been in Toledo. And so this is a really important thing to find out, that, you know, this city was on her radar, and that she came to support people with disabilities in that community.
So part of disability history is well-known historical figures who had one kind of disability or another?
It can be. Once the archive got more established, it began to attract papers from nationally known speakers and activists, and it's won national awards. So it's just an underserved population that we have not seen the importance of. But I know from teaching these classes and all the reading I'm doing, disability history is like a rich treasure trove of stories.
Tell us some of those stories.
Well, for example, in Toledo, I never understood. There was a woman there whose name is all over town, and I never understood who she was. Her name was on the sheltered workshop and all this. And as we started going through the archive, I discovered that she was the first person who ever created education for children with developmental disabilities. These kids at that time were not even allowed in public schools.
Developmental disabilities meaning?
It could be mental retardation.
Okay.
You know, and at that time they conflated physical disabilities with mental disabilities.
Which probably made it hard for students in both categories.
Well, and this woman was so amazing because she started this whole program in her home. She couldn't. And finally, now there's a whole educational system in Toledo. And, of course, it turned into special ed. But now that's moving toward mainstreaming kids so that, again, we move to our more inclusive society.
Mary McGinnis, tell us a little bit about your work as a disability activist.
I was a counseling services coordinator and counseling services manager and advocate at New Vistas for 27 years. And now I'm still a member of the Mayor's Committee on Disability and also the Transit Advisory Board, so I can keep Santa Fe Ride on their toes.
Uh-huh.
And it's been really gratifying to see that as a result of the advocacy that we all did, when the city of Santa Fe took over operating Santa Fe Ride, we have door-to-door service. And that's extremely helpful for people who are blind, because if a driver doesn't know who we are and we're not sure if it's a vehicle that's here for us, it could be a little confusing. So if somebody comes to the door, then we can find out who it is. So I feel much more comfortable as a woman knowing that they're going to say Santa Fe Ride and then I'll go out.
Right. Little things that people who aren't in your shoes would never even think of, which is why they have to have you on on the boards of
that
these things.
Right.
If you could, Mary, if you could just make society the way it should be to accommodate blind people, what are like the top things that you would do?
Oh, wow. Well, one of the things that I would do is get a whole bunch of money funneled to the city of Santa Fe so that accessibility could be improved.
Right, but like what are the specifics? Like what does that look like
as you
move through your day?
How it looks like. I love that question.
I don't mean look like visual.
Yeah,
like,
you know. No, I know what you mean. I mean, as a person who's older and didn't start the computer until later, I would like to have enough technical support that I can learn how to do everything that I didn't learn when I was 20, like, or 12, like some people did now.
Or three.
Yeah, or three. Because I'm sort of behind, and I'm not up to speed with everyone else, and I've gotten good help from Commission for the Blind, but they don't understand I have to write things down and go step one, step two, step three. And I think as soon as the aging community realizes that it's part of the disability community, really, and that we all have to advocate for each other's causes and keep speaking up, there's now a loop at City Council chambers so that people who are hard of hearing can go to City Council and be able to hear everything.
Right.
And the Mayor's Committee on Disability really backed that. So I don't know whether I have the big picture. I'm probably more aware of little things that would make the lives of myself and people I know a little bit easier.
So you mentioned computer technical support. What about things that allow you to get out and move around and visit the city and do your errands and stuff the way you would like to be able to do?
Well, it's good to a point, though this morning I couldn't get a ride with Santa Fe Ride to get over here because they were booked, and I should have called 2 weeks ago, but I figured Monday's good enough.
So you really have to plan way in advance.
Way in advance. So we can't always be as spontaneous as we would like. And I know Santa Fe Ride tries to do their best, but they're short of drivers and people leave and the turnover is really rapid. And I am very pleased that we got the Transit Advisory Board to vote on not having a no-show policy where people would have their services terminated if they had to cancel more than a certain number of appointments.
Oh, okay.
So we keep working with them.
We're talking about with Mary McGinnis and Pat Murphy about disability and disability studies. Pat, how did you get into this whole field yourself?
Well, I am an old-time vocational rehabilitation counselor, and I primarily work with industrially injured workers in California and Nevada, and in personal injury cases where I provided expert witness testimony. But I knew there was something more, and I read a lot, so I knew that this field was exploding. And in the beginning, even but 10 years ago, I could read everything. That's no longer possible because it's just there's so much scholarship now and so much new knowledge being produced. But I wanted to go back and address something that Mary said about how the aging community needs to recognize that they have a lot in common with the disability community. And this is a really ticklish issue and speaks to the centuries-long discrimination against people with disability. So a person would rather be called old than disabled. And it's really unfortunate because disability is just part of human variation. It isn't, I always think of it as disability or us, you know.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I saw a documentary once about probably 10 to 15 years ago called Sound and Fury, which I highly recommend, which was a film about two families that were related, a brother and sister, were the parents, and they both had deaf children. And the question was, because they came from a deaf family or partially deaf family, whether the children should have cochlear implants so that they could hear. And the anger and yelling and the controversy between these two families about whether the child should get this or not was fascinating, because the one of the parents said, oh, we're going to get our baby a cochlear implant. And they did, and the baby could hear. And the other one said, well, we don't want to do that because then our community will lose a deaf person. And there was you just watch this and you go, oh, my God. And then there was a follow-up years later where the same mother, who was absolutely dead set against it, not only let her daughter get it, but she got one herself.
Uh-huh. Well, it's very interesting. The deaf community is unique in a sense. For example, this is an example of disability history. The passage of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, could never have happened unless disability organizations all came together. This is the first time this has happened in the history of the United States. All right. In other words, the deaf community, the blind community, people with spinal cord injuries, and so on. The deaf community says that doesn't have a disability. All right. And I don't know if people knew about this, but Martha's Vineyard used to have this very large disability community, and everybody used sign language, including hearing people. All right. And that was the major language.
Because so many, for whatever reason, there were so many deaf people on Martha's Vineyard.
Right. So it was a whole culture. So the point of deaf folks is they identify themselves as a linguistic, if you can use that term, linguistic minority. All right. So for them, so sometimes you will find deaf folks saying, I don't have a disability, and other times they say, I do have a disability. So, and now then this technology complicates all of that.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the things that we would investigate in the disability studies course. The other thing I wanted to remark on is that the course, which starts August 26th, has guest speakers in it. When I started this out, I wanted to engage students in creating the disability history archive I referred to earlier, but I couldn't get that. So instead, students will hear from the disability community, okay? And I want the disability community to be very engaged in disability studies. So Mary will be speaking in my class, and she'll be talking about the Mayor's Commission on Disability. But I will also have representatives from Assistance Dogs of the West, from LifeLink, who I think will be very interesting. They'll talk about the connections between disability and homelessness. And the Challenge New Mexico folks will be here. They're the ones that have disabled kids on horses. And Kathy Smith from New Vistas, where Mary used to be. And then there's Andy from Southwest Americas with Disabilities Center and the MS Society and other places. So it'll be a very rich experience.
I think the take home for me from all of this is that it's not so much there's disabled people and able-bodied people, but we're all at a continuum at different times. I remember one time I got sick and I went to Walmart and was so exhausted I couldn't get to the back of the store, so I used the little cart. And one of the employees there looked at me as if I was exploiting the system or something. But it's like, this is the best I can do right now.
Right, absolutely. Yes, and I just wanted to say it's possible to register online. There's still openings in the class, and you can go to sfccnm.edu. And you're looking for the course called Introducing Disability Studies.
The website, once again, is sfccnm.edu.
That's right.
And Pat Murphy is a disability studies scholar, a feminist. Mary McGinnis is a poet, counselor, and disability activist. I wanted to ask you, Mary, you talk about your poetry and your activism. Do they come together? Do you ever write? Do you ever address the subject in your poetry?
Oh, sure. I did it more when I was first working at New Vistas than I do now, but it still definitely comes up. And I've been writing the last couple of years a few poems about aging because I believe it's really important for me to talk about it and be open about it and not pretend it isn't happening. And of course, that's what I did with poems about disability. And in my book, Listening for Cactus, there are some of those poems. So years ago, a peer counselor who was maybe 10 years older than many of us, she said about the connection with aging and disability, and I didn't get it then, but I sure do get it now.
Mary McGinnis and Pat Murphy, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And once again, the course Introducing Disability Studies starts on the 26th of August. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.